last week. We are going to continue looking at somebody else in that same passage of scripture that we looked at last week. We saw Eliezer last week, how his hand clave to his sword. And I want to look at another member of David's mighty men. Have you ever heard the expression, choose your battles? Have you ever heard that? Oh, you just got to choose your battles. Sometimes we think, well, there are some things that are just not worth fighting for. There's some things that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to put the effort in. You just choose your battles because we won't put our energy into that battle, either because it's not worth it or we might not win. So we'll put all our energy in this battle. And there are oftentimes there are some things in life that we think are just not worth fighting for, whether that's in our everyday lives or whether that's in our spiritual lives. And what I want to look at tonight in the life of Shammah is the victories over the insignificant. Now, there are many things in our lives that we might deem as insignificant. There may be many things in our spiritual lives that we think are insignificant and just simply not worth fighting for. But the Lord shows us here through this man taking a stand over a piece of land that we would think is completely and utterly insignificant, and yet he wrought a great victory. So how do we get victory over the insignificant things in our lives and our walk? Things that we think are just not worth the effort, in reality, are worth fighting for, and we can have the victory. 2 Samuel 23, and we'll go up to verse 8, but we're going to be looking at verses 11 and 12. And it says in verse 8, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ohite, one of three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave under the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight, for this opportunity to come around your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to fight, even at times, for things that seem so insignificant, things that feel like they just wouldn't make a difference one way or the other. And Lord, there are many things in our spiritual walk that Christians today feel are insignificant. Maybe it's a particular doctrine of the Bible that they think is just simply not worth fighting for. It's not worth taking a stand for. But we recognize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we recognize the fact that the doctrines of the Bible, no matter how insignificant they may seem to other people, are worth fighting for, are worth taking a stand for. And Father, we prayed you'd help us today to realize that there may be something in our life. Maybe it's an area of small sin, as it were, that we think is insignificant, but that really does need to be put to bed, that we really do need to take a stand and fight against that. Maybe there are things in our lives that seem insignificant, that is just not worth standing up for or standing up against. And Father, I pray you would speak to us tonight and help us to recognize that there are certain small battles that need to be faced in our lives in order for us to have a greater victory when it comes to our walk with our precious Savior. So Father, would you speak to our hearts this evening? Would you help us? And would you encourage us? And would you equip us for the battle that lies ahead of us? For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, we are introduced to David's mighty men. And these were a group of highly trained soldiers who fought with David, and they aided him in his victories. Among these men were three who served David. You could say, if you like, that they were a sort of personal bodyguard to David. And these men and their exploits are described in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. And I just want to look at Shammah this evening, because he is a man that took a stand against overwhelming odds. I remember the first message David Moore ever preached in this church was this message. And I don't know if you remember, he, and I still refer to him today, after probably 15 years, as the pea patch preacher. Because a couple of people are nodding their heads. I also refer to him as many other things other than that. But for the most part, he's the pea patch preacher. Because this is the message he preached on. And, you know, you see this man, Shammah, taking this stand over a bit of land that you think, what is the point? Just run with everybody else. Just, you know, the Philistines are coming. It's just a little patch of ground. There's some lentils, some peas. What is the point in taking a stand and risking your life and fighting for this small patch of land? But Shammah is a person that we can learn much from this evening when it comes to these little battles, if you like, in our lives. The Bible tells us that the Philistines attacked the people of God, and when the Philistines came, similar to what we saw with Eliezer last week, the people ran away. There are many times in our lives when we are facing battles that we feel like we are all alone. And we feel like we just don't have the strength to do this. Who else is there to stand with us? We are just standing, if you like, in this pea patch, this patch of land that is completely and utterly insignificant to anybody else. But it's our battle. It's something that we are facing, and we feel like we are facing it alone. But we need to understand more than anything tonight that we are never alone. In all of the battles that we will ever face, if everybody forsakes us on this planet, there is one person that will never, ever leave us. And he's the one that will give us the victory. There are three aspects of this account of Shammah's life that will help us to see that there is a time to take a stand. There is a time to fight, even over something that seems insignificant. You see, in Israel at this time, it was a time of great conflict. In verse 11, it says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. The Bible is clear here that the Philistines were attacking the people of God. It was a time of great conflict. It's the same enemy. At this particular stage in Israel's life, it's the same enemy. It was the Philistines that kept attacking. It was the Philistines that were a thorn in the flesh. It was the Philistines. And sometimes when we face these battles in life, it seems like we're facing the same enemy over and over again. We just get one victory and we think, yes, I can relax a bit. And before you know it, it's the same enemy that comes against us. It's the same problem that we face. It's the same hurdle that we try and get over. It's the same patch of ground that we are trying to defend time and time and time again. The Philistines came when the people in the fields fled away. This lets us know that the enemy most likely came during the time of harvest. It was the time when the people were occupied with the business of gathering in the crops. This was a time of great celebration. This was an exciting time for the farmers as they gathered in their crops. They weren't prepared for war. This is when the enemy comes in our lives. The harvest time was a time of great joy. And oftentimes, in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual battles, the enemy comes when we are on a high, when we've won a great victory. You know, the amount of times I've heard people say that, oh, I had such an awesome night during my baptism, and, you know, it was great to see my family here and my work colleagues, and I enjoy giving my testimony, and I love standing up for the Lord. And then that week is the time that they are, the rug is pulled from under them, if you like. That's the week that the enemy goes after them. That's the week that they face real hardship. Oftentimes, the enemy will come against us when we are on a spiritual high, when we have had and experienced a great victory. The people here are working hard to get the crops into the barn so they can rest from their labor, so they can enjoy the fruit of their harvest. Their attention is fixed upon what they are doing, and their attention is not focused on the enemy. They're not expecting him. They're not prepared for war. They're prepared for the harvest. When does the enemy come against us? In the midst of great blessings, at the time of a victory. We've said time and time again, the greatest battle comes for us as believers, not when we are fighting, but after we've won the victory. Because that's the time then that we let our guard down. Yes, I've just conquered this particular sin. Awesome. Now I can relax. You look at Joseph. We looked at Joseph a couple of weeks ago, Potiphar's wife. What if Joseph, after the first time Potiphar's wife said, come and lie with me, what if when Joseph gained that victory in his life that he suddenly said, I can relax now because I've turned her down. But the scripture said she came after him day after day after day. It was a continual thing. And if Joseph had let his guard down, if Joseph had just rested on his laurels, if Joseph had just turned around and said, I've won the victory now, I don't need to worry about the enemy. And it's quite possible that he would have succumbed to her seduction. That he would have succumbed because his guard was down. What a lesson for us. What a lesson for the church. How many times do we find ourselves engaged in the busy work of our lives, in the busy work of the church? Sometimes we can let our guard down. You know, the Lord said to the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. They were so busy focused upon the work, if you like, that they'd taken their eyes off the Savior. Everything we do, whether it's in church, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in work, everything that we do ought to bring glory to the Lord. If it's not about Him, if He doesn't have the preeminence in our lives, you think, well, how can I bring glory to God when I'm in work? How can I bring glory to God, you know, when I'm at home? How can I bring glory to God? We put Him first. People can see the testimony in our lives. People ought to know that we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not because we walk around carrying a Bible, but because we walk around displaying what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ, that people can see Christ through us. But it's so easy for us to take our eyes off the Lord. Surely our testimony is insignificant. That's not worth fighting for, is it? Surely our testimony is just like a pea patch. What is the point in taking a stand and taking a fight for our testimony? Because that's what people see. How you react to things, how you react to situations, how you react to certain things, in whether it's in work, whether it's in uni, whether it's in the classroom, wherever it is, that's what people see of Christ. You claim to be a Christian. You've witnessed to these people, I hope you've witnessed to these people. You've told them about the Lord. You told them where you stand. You told them where you go. They know you go to church on a Sunday. They know you come out on a Wednesday. They know that you spend time reading your Bibles. Our testimony is not something that's insignificant. Because our lives might be the only Bible a lost person ever reads. Paul said that we are an epistle. That's what people see. We're an open letter to be read of all men. What people see of us will be their view of Christ. So is Christ hypocritical? Is Christ a critical person? Is Christ angry? Is Christ vulgar? Is Christ blasé about a whole host of things? Is that what people see of the Lord Jesus Christ when they see us? That doesn't mean that we can't have a sense of humor. I have no doubt in my mind that the Lord Jesus Christ had a sense of humor. I can almost picture him saying when the disciples said, how can anybody get to heaven, when the Lord said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. I can almost see him have a smirk on his face as he said it. As the disciples go, what? It's okay to have a sense of humor. It's biblical. A merry heart doeth good like unto a medicine. Some people need an extra dose of medicine. It's okay to laugh. It's okay. But our testimony is important. What people see of us will determine how they view the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Ephesus was so busy with working that that ought to have been a means to an end. Their work was a means to an end, but the means actually became the end. Do you see what I'm saying? They should have been working to point people to Christ, but Christ was no longer the focus, the work was. God's people should always be prepared. He's not left us without warning. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's left us with an example. Nehemiah says, it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbingers, and the rulers were behind of all the house of Judah, they which building on the wall, and they were that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. We have a work to do. So we ought to stand on the wall, if you like, with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. Defend your testimony. It might seem insignificant. It might feel like something that doesn't need to be fought over, but it is important. Because that's what people see. The enemy came when Israel was unprepared. It's easy for us to kind of almost get lulled into a false sense of security. Well, things are going well at the moment. The Lord is blessed. Just relax a little bit. But we ought to always be on our guard, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about the earth seeking whom he may devour. Why did the enemy come? The enemy came to inflict casualties and to destroy the crops. The Philistines knew if they could wound their enemies and bring them to a place of hunger, they would be easily defeated. It would be easy for the soul. We saw this with Gideon when Pastor Moore took us through the judges, and he went. We studied Gideon for a whole week of the men's meeting, and we saw that scorched earth policy. Destroy the crops. If you can destroy the crops, then you can absolutely demoralize the people, because there's no way of feeding themselves. So the Philistines came through, they would come through the fields, they would trample down the crops, and they would slaughter all who stood in the way. It's the same when it comes to our enemy. He comes against us for the same two reasons: to inflict casualties and to destroy the crop. He wants to weaken us so that we don't have the desire to do God's will. The devil and the world don't care what we do as a church. They don't care that we meet. They don't care that we, well, I was going to say that we sing. We're not singing at the minute. But they don't care if we preach. They don't care if we read our Bibles. They don't care if we gather together in this way. What they care about is if we take this book seriously. What they care about is if we actually get serious about our Christian walk. Can you imagine what it would be like if we were serious as a Christian? If we took God's word seriously, if we took our duty seriously, if we took our commission seriously, if we took the fact that all we had to do was defend a pea patch. What if we took that task seriously? How effective could we be as a church in the world today? As long as we do nothing, we're no threat. The people who were gathering in the harvest and run away, they were no threat to the Philistines. They'd all gone. You know, too many Christians today are too quick to throw in the towel. They see the enemy come in, and I'm going to say something really embarrassing now, and I hope you realize how hard this is for me to say, to use as an illustration, because it's embarrassing for a Welshman. My first rugby match in comprehensive, we were playing, I think it was Hawthorne School, Form 1. And we were down on the field by Redvelin Leisure Centre, and I came on as a sub. First rugby match, somebody passed me the ball. It was a big guy running. I'm only little now, so I wasn't, you know, obviously in form when I was really small. And I don't know if, I think the senior team was playing that day. It must have been form 6, definitely, because this guy was massive. What did I do? I had the ball in my hand, and I threw it straight over my head. I was like, oh! Because if I didn't have the ball, he wasn't allowed to hit me. Because I was against the rules. Of course, I forgot we were in Redvelin and that didn't work, so I got hit anyway. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes Christians react in the same way. It's almost like, oh, run away, get out of the pea patch, you know, just flee from the devil. That's not how it's meant to work. It doesn't say that if we flee from the devil because he resists us, it says if we resist him, he'll flee from us. But yet we are too scared in the battle. We just want to simply throw our weapon away. We want to throw our sword away. We just want to throw that behind our heads and run with the crowd. We got to take a stand. And sometimes things just don't seem like they're worth fighting for. They might seem insignificant. It might seem like a patch of a lentil ground, a pea patch that's not worth fighting for. But can I say this? When you're enlisted in the army as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, every single battle that we face is significant. The devil wants to come in and stomp our crop. He wants to, if you like, invade our patch of ground. And he's not welcome. He's not welcome in this church. He's not welcome anywhere near us. He is to be resisted. And the scripture's clear. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When the enemy came, all the people fled. There was no opposition. Who will stand? Who will go for me? The Lord looked among them for a man that would stand in the gap, and he found none. Who will take a stand? Who will be willing to stand up and defend that pea patch, as it were? The people fled in terror. There was no man to stand in the field. They just simply had a free rein. It's easy to run away. That's the easy thing to do. It was easy to throw the rugby ball over my head and hope that somebody else would get clattered. But that's not how the game of rugby works. You meant to get on with it. Can I just say this? I did end up to go on and play a bit of rugby, and I didn't do that in every game I played. Can I just make that clear? No, I said, no, all any respect is completely and utterly gone. Brilliant. But that's how the church is sometimes. The church comes to that point where it would just simply rather have the path of least resistance. And we need to recognize that sometimes battles come. Sometimes battles are really hard. Sometimes battles are tougher than others. Sometimes battles may seem insignificant. But as a church, we need to stand and fight. We don't need to flee from the battle. You know, we live in a day and age now where we're not allowed to hurt anyone's feelings. And there's a reason that many churches are falling apart, because people don't have the courage to stand up. Let me tell you something. Times are going to get harder. Things are going to get worse. Where will the church be found? Will we be a lukewarm church that makes the Lord sick, or will we be willing to take a stand? Will we be willing to stand for what we believe? Will we be willing to stand for the Word of God? Will we be willing to stand if a time comes when we are told you are no longer allowed to preach the gospel? Will we fight? Or will we just run away? We're engaged in the greatest struggle the world has ever known. God simply wants to reach the world for his name's sake, and he wants to use us. How incredible is that he wants to use us in this cause to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that souls that are headed to a Christless hell might come to know Christ as their Savior, might have their sins forgiven, and might have the opportunity to have an eternity in heaven with their Savior. And God wants to use us to proclaim that message. That blows my mind that he would even consider using something as useless as us. God has placed his church in the world to be a light for his glory. Many times we won't even take a stand to protect what the Lord has given us. That's what the Philistines found when they came to Israel. It was a time of great conflict, but it was a time of great courage. They stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. A man by the name of Shammah. The Bible tells us that Shammah stood. He resolved in his heart that he would fight for that pea patch. He made up his mind that he wouldn't run away from the battle. He made up his mind that he wouldn't do that. Maybe he had run before. Maybe he had learned from his mistakes. But not this time. This time he was going to make a stand. This time he was going to fight. This time he was going to stand against the enemy, even if it cost him his life. One of the biggest problems today in our Christian walk is we have things too easy. We've never really had to fight. We've never risked our lives to come into the church. We've never risked the rest for proclaiming the gospel. We've never really had to give up anything in terms of our freedom, because at this moment in time, we are free to meet to worship. Maybe Shammah had run away before. Other people would have looked at that piece of ground and thought, what is the point? Let him have it. But the Lord had obviously spoken to Shammah and said, son, you take a stand. You defend that ground. Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand. Three times in that those few verses, the Lord says, stand. Pastor Ed used to say all the time, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And we need to take a stand. We could just stand back and watch the church go the way of the world. That would be easier. Just water this word down, just speak a message that pleases everybody, and let's just fill the church up. But that's not what the commission is. The commission is to preach the gospel. People don't like the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. People don't like to hear that they're sinners. People don't like the concept of hell. People don't like the fact that they have to confront their sins. People don't even like to admit that they're a sinner. The easiest thing to do is go with the flow and just water down the world so that we can conform to the world. That's not our commission. Shammah was going to take a stand. And sometimes, no matter how insignificant it might seem, we have to take a stand. And we have to fight. Why did he fight? Well, it was a patch of ground that produced food. Without food, they were in trouble. Without the crop from the field, they would starve. And Shammah knew that he had to defend it. He knew that some things were actually worth fighting for, no matter how insignificant they may have seemed to other people. Can I say this evening, that there are things worth fighting for today? Our church is worth fighting for. Being able to gather together in worship is worth fighting for. The lost are worth fighting for. You know, it doesn't matter how many people have died during this time, during this pandemic. 150,000 people die every single day. How many of them slip into a lost eternity? The lost are worth fighting for. You know, to some that might seem insignificant. Oh, just let them do their own thing. Let them go their own way. Just let them do their thing and we'll do our thing. But we've been commissioned to reach the lost. The Word of God is worth fighting for. I don't know about you, I don't want a watered down version of the word. I don't want a gender neutral version of the word. I don't want a politically correct version of the word. I want the word of God. Yeah, but we don't like it. It's a bit tough sometimes. That's what it does. That's what a sharp, two-edged sword does. You ever cut yourself with a feather duster? No. But that's what people want today. They want their ears tickled. They got itching ears. They just want them tickled. Just tell us what we want to hear. Yeah, great. We can tell you what you want to hear, all we want. We can send plenty of happy people to hell. Just tell them what they want to hear. Everybody's going to heaven. Yeah, all roads lead to Rome, as it were. Yeah, God is just sat on top of this mountain, and all religions are worshipping the same God, and we all get there the same type of way. So just don't worry about it. Live your life as you please. Try and do right, and guess what? Eventually you'll get there. No. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says that unless people trust Christ as their Savior, there is no other way to the Father. The Word of God says that our sin will separate us from God, that the payment for that sin, the penalty for that sin, the wages of that sin is death. That's what the Word of God says. But the world wants to water it down so it makes it more palatable. The Word of God's not meant to be palatable. It's meant to step on toes. It's meant to convict. It's meant to cut straight to the chase. That's what it does. That's what it's designed for. Some things are worth fighting for. The preaching of the word is worth fighting for. Praying is worth fighting for. Morality is worth fighting for. The reputation of our families is worth fighting for. Our young people are worth fighting for. Some things might seem insignificant, might seem just like a pea patch. God recognizes the importance of them. Shammah slew the enemies of the people of God. And because he fought, he enjoyed the victory. If he had run away like everybody else, he wouldn't have seen God's hand. He wouldn't have seen the power of God. He wouldn't have seen God move. The enemy would have prevailed. And sometimes we have to take a stand for the things of God. Sometimes we have to take a stand for the things which are right. Sometimes we have to take a stand for the things which are important. When the enemy has secured the victory and the cause of Christ has been hindered, then if we refuse to fight the good fight of faith, we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. Listen, you can blame the referee all they want, but they only had themselves to blame. Just lost all our followers the other side of the border. If we refuse to fight and the enemy gets the foothold in our lives, then it's us to blame. We can't turn around then and say, oh yeah, but God, you didn't. Oh yeah, but God, you didn't. Oh, yeah. It's our fault. No matter how insignificant, we've got to take a stand and defend our pea patch. Thankfully, it was a time of great conquest. Notice again who wrought the victory. We saw it last week with Eliezer. Great. I just love when you lose your place. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 12. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord defeated the enemy. The last part of verse 12 tells us that the one who really won the victory was God. He gave Shammah the ability to stand. You know, there might be times in our lives where we feel like, well, we can't fight this battle. I can't fight for my family. I can't fight for the lost. I can't take a stand for what I believe. I can't take that stand in work. I can't take that stand in the classroom. I can't take that stand at home. But God is the one that gives us the victory. God is the one that gives us the strength. God is the one that enables us to stand. And as a result, he's the one that wrought a great victory. It's not based on our strength. He gave Shammah the ability to stand. He gave Shammah the power to fight. He gave Shammah the skill to win. He gave Shammah the victory over his enemies. Shammah may have held a sword, but God won the battle. Just hold the sword. Hold it like Eleazar did until your hand is so clasped to it that you can't let it go. It was the same when David walked into the valley against Goliath. There is no way on this earth that David should ever have won that victory, but David didn't. The Lord did. It was the same when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah went into that fiery furnace. They didn't do it in their strength. The Lord gave them the strength to stand. And as a result, he was the one in the fire with them. Time and time again through the scripture, we see simple, ordinary, everyday people taking a stand against far greater enemies and winning these great victories. Why? Because not of their strength, but because of God's strength. Not because of their ability, but because of God's ability. Not because of their power, but because of God's power. When we face the spiritual battles of life, we need to remember that these battles are the Lord. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's." Psalm 35:1 says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me." When you fight battles, whether you win or lose, you've done what the Lord requires. You've been faithful. That's what he demands. Because God had one man who was willing to stand, the fields were protected. Think about this for a moment. What if we don't take a stand? You know, when people are trying to do away with the Word of God, when people are trying to alter the Word of God, when people are trying to compromise the Word of God, what if we don't take a stand? What if we just said, "Oh, well, go on, let's just give in, let's, you know, well, whatever next version comes out, and then a new one will come out, and then a new one will come out, and then a new one will come out, let's just use those, let's just go with the times, go with the flow, stop being so archaic." But can I say this? They get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Till you end up with something like the Message Bible. Can I tell you, I'd rather read James's Beano than the Message Bible? It's the same thing. It's a comic. I'm not being disrespectful about the Word of God. We've had that conversation before, haven't we? It's hopeless. But that's what happens. The Word of God gets watered down so much that by the end, we kind of just accept any old thing, and then we forget what the Word of God is, and then it has no power. But we've not taken that stand. If we don't take a stand for these things, then what's going to happen to our children? If we don't defend the pea patch, what happens then? What will they eat from a spiritual point of view? Well, what if we're not willing to take a stand when it comes to witnessing? What if we just turn and say, "Oh, it's not a pea patch, it's worth defending"? Who was the person that witnessed to you? Who was the person that told you about the Lord Jesus? Picture them in your mind right now. Who was it that told you about the Lord? Who was it that told you that according to the scripture that you were a sinner and that you were lost and that without Christ you would go to hell? Who told you about the Lord? What if they weren't willing to defend that pea patch? What if they thought that's insignificant? You were insignificant. There's no point in me talking to you because you won't listen. There's no point in me witnessing to you because you just won't understand. There's no point in me witnessing to you because I don't like the look of you. You won't fit the mold. You don't seem to be the person that would fit into a church setting. What if that was their attitude? Would we be sat here tonight? I'm thankful that Rex McPherson didn't have that attitude to say, "I'm not going to Wales." Why would someone like that leave a lovely area that they were living in Georgia to come over to Annecy? Nothing against Annecy. That's, you know, I was going to say, that's where I live, but I live in Porth, so it's a bit nicer area than Nicaea. But why would anybody want to come over and go to somewhere like Nicaea? Can you imagine the shock to the system that he must have had coming to Nicaea for the first time? But I'm thankful he didn't turn around and say, what an insignificant place. I'm not going there. Because if he did that, I would never have knelt down in his front room and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. What if we're not willing to take a stand in regards to the pea patch of praying? What if we just turn around and say, no point, is it? But prayers don't get answered, really, and not making a difference. And what if that was our attitude? We forgot that there is power in prayer. That's not something that's insignificant in our walk with the Lord. That's not something that ought to take second place in our lives. Because Paul said we ought to pray not just on a Wednesday night in prayer meeting, not just before our meals, not just at the start and end of a service on a Sunday. Paul said we ought to pray without ceasing. That means to be in a continual state of prayer. We ought to wake up in the morning and say, Heavenly Father, and we ought to close our eyes at night and say, Amen. That's what it means to pray continually. But are we willing to fight for that? The enemy is still attacking the people of God, just like he did through the Philistines. And maybe the devil is saying to us that God's word is insignificant. It's not worth fighting for. Maybe the devil is saying to us, your marriage is insignificant. It's not worth fighting for. Maybe the devil is saying to us, your church is insignificant. It's not worth fighting for. Praying is insignificant. It's not worth fighting for. Witnessing to the lost is insignificant. It's not worth fighting for. Being a Christian is insignificant. It's not worth fighting for. Maybe the devil is saying that to you tonight. Maybe he said it to you in the past. Can I just say, stand? And when you've done all the stand again. Because the church is not insignificant. You are not insignificant. Praying is not insignificant. The word of God is not insignificant. Your home, your family, it is not insignificant. Defend the pea patch. Defend that patch of lentils. Like your life depended upon it. Because some things are worth fighting for. Will you stay in that patch of ground while others are running away? Are you willing to take a stand? Sometimes that's all we can do. Do you know what? Even if the only thing we can do is take a stand so that it just slows the devil down a bit as he runs over us. But then we've done our part. Even if we can just slow him down a bit. Yeah, I might have thrown that rugby ball over my head, but they still had to run through me to get to the person who'd caught it, and I slowed him down a bit, even if it was a human speed bump. Just take a stand. And when you've done all the stand again. Why? Because God will give us the victory. It's not based on our strength. It's all because of him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, you know the needs of your people here this evening. You know what battles they're facing. You know the difficulties that they're going through. You know the patch of ground that they're defending right now. And maybe they're tired. Maybe they feel like what they're fighting for is insignificant. Maybe they feel like it's worthless. It's not worthwhile. And maybe they feel like giving up. Maybe they feel like going with the crowd and simply running away. Father, I prayed you'd help them to stand. I prayed you'd help them to fight. I prayed you'd give them the strength they need, the courage they need, the will to keep going on. And I pray that you would give them the realization that it is you that will wrought a great victory. So, Father, we just prayed you'd help us tonight, Lord. Help us to take that stand where needed. Help us to fight for what the world just seems as what deems as insignificant. Help us to stand in the battle, to defend that ground, and to not give an inch to the devil. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask Julian and Andrew to come up at this time, and me and Steve. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is
Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to have been able to gather around Your word this evening, Lord. And Lord, You've certainly challenged our hearts this evening. And we just pray that as we've heard this word tonight, Lord, that You'll just determine in our minds that we will be more like Shammah and that we will make a stand, Lord, and that we will indeed stand for the things of God wherever they might be, in whatever aspect of our life. Lord, we just pray that You will give us that strength, give us everything that we need, Lord, the strength that we need to do that. And we know that the victory will come from You. And so, Lord, we thank You for this time together. We just pray that You will bless us as this meeting ends. Be with us, Lord, in the week ahead, and we pray that You will just bless us in all that we do for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.